Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and really happy to be back in Chicago. I was planning on staying in Springfield. So Jen Bosworth was absolutely correct. I was in Springfield, but I decided this morning to hightail it back to Chicago so that I could be in the Skokie Parade tomorrow at noon. And we will check in with Roger Badish about all the details in just a little bit. We have comedian Paul Farvar Esquire in studio with us. Maybe I should have you read the budget bill, but you know who can tell me more about it? Leader Lou Lang joins us on the line. Good evening, Leader Lou. How are you doing?
I'm great, Patty. How are you? And by the way, no one should want to read the budget bill.
I do, because, you know, I'm watching a lot of you getting attacked on both sides of the aisle. There were a significant number of Republicans who voted for the revenue portion, for the spending portion, and the implementation. And we don't have to get into the details of some of the things that people are saying and really ugly things, but it seems as though people are latching on to one thing. And tell us, first of all, why is this necessary? Why is the budget you passed today? And I think for people who are hearing this as background noise, why must we pass this budget?
So a lot of people want to argue about how we got to the point where we are, but I don't know how productive that is. We're at a place today where we're spending $39 billion through court orders and other things. We're bringing in $32 billion. That can't go on forever. You also can't cut your way out of that. No rational person in Springfield thinks we can provide the services to people, school kids, our universities, that we need to provide at $32 billion. In fact, I said that on the floor during debate, and nobody challenged that. We have said, we meaning the House Democrats, have said from the very beginning that to do this well, you need a combination of responsible cuts and new revenue. And that's exactly what we've done. We have cut spending in this bill by $3 billion. We're going down from $39 billion in spending to $36 billion in spending. And in the process of doing that, we're funding our universities, we're funding mental health services, we're funding services for kids with autism, we're funding state government, we are funding what needs to be funded, and all the while, $3 billion in cuts. It's a responsible budget. Having said that, nobody wants to vote to raise taxes. So some of these people that send me Facebook comments and calls to my office thinking that I come down here wanting to tax people is just ludicrous. Nobody wants to do that. But everybody recognizes we have to run the government. Our universities are the best place to look for an example. Our universities are crumbling before our very eyes. Kids are leaving the state to go to other states to go to school. We're losing our best professors. In other words, there's a double brain drain, professors and students. It equals a very bad conclusion. And so we've been working very hard, and we convinced a good number of Republicans to join us in a bipartisan plan to cut $3 billion of spending, but to raise some revenue so that we can keep the state of Illinois afloat and pay our bills.
And one of the things that I'm learning about, because I'm trying to find, I try to Google like portions of the bill, and a lot of what I find online is a sort of a piecemeal, starting with what the Senate began compromising on, what they built starting in January, and where we kind of are now. One of the things that I learned today is that there are deductions and like the earned income credit that will help a lot of people who are concerned about this increase, because they're hearing these numbers and they're not hearing the other side of it, that the earned income credit is actually going up for many people who earn less than $250,000. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know where the break point is, and I don't have the bill in front of me, but suffice to say that people that don't make much money are going to be helped under this bill.
Yes.
And so for people who say, well, poor people can't afford higher taxes, most poor people aren't going to be paying higher taxes under this bill. I also want to add this. The governor has said he's going to veto it because we don't have not passed his reforms. I want to tell your listeners, Patty, that that is a falsehood. So the governor wanted workers' compensation reform. We passed workers' compensation reform. He wanted a change in the school aid formula. We passed a change in the school aid formula. He wanted procurement reform. Procurement is the process by which the state of Illinois buys goods and services. We passed procurement reform. He wanted local government consolidation. We provided a piece of legislation that would enable local governments to consolidate to save money for taxpayers. And on down the line, we have passed in every area, virtually, some reform that the governor has asked for. Now, it hasn't been everything he's asked for, but in most of these cases, we've worked with people on the other side of the aisle to forge compromises. In the end, we put the bills up on the board and they passed. The governor will say it's not enough. Well, on the education funding formula, which we've been working on my entire time in the General Assembly over 20 years, we put a bill on the governor's desk that will provide fair and equitable new funding for school districts all over the state of Illinois that need it and still hold harmless other school districts. So we're not playing Robin Hood, taking from one and giving to the other. And the governor said, well, you know, it's only 90% of what I wanted, so I won't sign the bill. Now, who in life gets 90% of what they want? And who in Springfield for sure gets 90% of what they want? 90% is pretty good number. And for the governor to say he's going to veto these bills because they don't give him 100% of what he wants would say to any rational person, here's a guy that's not thinking too clearly. Here's a guy that doesn't understand his job. Here's a guy that doesn't want to do his job. We've done heavy lifting to help the state of Illinois. No one wants to pay more taxes. I'll give you that. But please remember that legislators are taxpayers too.
Right.
And we don't just run to the House floor or run to the Senate floor to pass bills to hurt people. This is the way we're going to improve our state. Cut spending, which people have demanded of us. Cut waste, cut abuse, and provide the necessary revenue to run the state of Illinois in a way that people would be proud of, to reflect the values of the people who live in the state of Illinois.
And that was something that struck me because, you know, I know that so many men and women in Springfield are working to protect the future of Illinois, to make sure that education is provided for, that our elderly are taken care of, that we all have the freedom to pursue the path that we dream of, you know, and that's making sure that our neighborhoods are better, that our communities are stronger, that our families will have a tomorrow that we believe in. And one of the things that struck me when you were speaking yesterday was that you said, you know, a lot of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle were talking about being primaried. And in my district, you know, my constituents want this and they want that. And you pointed out that you are a state representative, that you don't just represent the people in your district, but you represent the people of Illinois. And I think that's important for a lot of people to understand. And I think, you know, when I talk to listeners and I say, you know, who's your legislator? I think that people need to call all of their legislators or go into their offices. If you see a legislator's office, stop by and see if they're in, don't you think?
Well, I think that's a great idea, and thank you for pointing that out. I said that with great purpose in mind. We have a lot of legislators who take the point of view that they're going to hold their thumb to the wind and take kind of a little poll in their district, and many of them don't even do that too well, and they're going to vote in a way that just those 110,000 people think they should vote. And I grant you that people are elected from that group of 110,000 people, but I'm not the state representative. I'm not the representative only for the 16th district where I live. I represent people in Caro. I represent people in Rockford. I represent people in Rock Island. I represent people in Champaign and everywhere else in between. That's our responsibility. And if a school child in Champaign doesn't have a good school to go to, I have to be responsible to that. I have to be responsive to that. And what we've done this year, over the last couple of weeks, it puts bills on the governor's desk that will be responsive to the needs of children and adults and seniors and working people. And that's my job.
And that's what's so remarkable about all of this is what, you know, a lot of you have gone through to get to this point. It's been 3 years now. I know that we talk about it being 2 years, but this started in 2015, that session last year, 2016. And now this third year of negotiations of trying to work something out. What was it really the junk bond status, the threat of that, that has moved people to finally find a place of compromise when it comes to Republicans joining with Democrats and for Democrats themselves finding some area where they can agree on as well?
It was certainly an extra push at the end. I think we are going to get a significant number of Republicans to join us at any rate. But this was maybe the straw that broke the camel's back. And for listeners, let me quickly explain. States and cities and governments have to borrow from time to time. Sometimes they borrow to build things. Sometimes they borrow to pay pension debt. They have to borrow. And then they pay it back in bonding. And the cost of those bonds is dependent on the credit worthiness of that particular government. And so because the state of Illinois has been without a budget for the last 3 years, our bond rating has gone through the roof in a bad way. The interest rate we have to pay when we borrow money has gone crazy. And it cost us tens of millions of dollars every year more to do the work we have to do simply because our bond rating is terrible. And the bond houses have indicated that if we don't have a budget signed and sealed and delivered, we're going to become the first state in America to have junk bond status, which means we'll be paying more to borrow money than any state in the union. And that can't happen. The only thing that's good for are Governor Rauner's rich friends, who will be the people buying all those tax-free bonds.
Oh, such a mess we're in. We are talking to Leader Lou Lang. Do you mind holding on for another segment? Because we have some texts coming in, and I'd like to take some calls. And I know that Paul has a question about the override vote in case the governor vetoes. Do you mind holding on, Leader?
No problem, Patty. Be happy to stay here with you.
I appreciate that. We're talking to Leader Lou Lang. He represents the 16th District, but as he mentioned, he is a state representative. He represents all of you living in the state of Illinois as we go through this budget crisis. We've called it the budget catastrophe. It's time for this part of our crisis really to end, and we need to move forward and find a path forward. We are talking to Leader Lou Lang, 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments, concerns, we'll take your calls and your texts after this. Again, 312-981-7200. More in a moment on Pretty Late.
With a dream, my cardigan.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And we're 40 minutes away from the 4th of July, our Day of Independence, when the colonies decided they were tired of taxation without representation. And ever since then, democracy has not been easy. It's hard. It's a fight every single day. It's not done. And you know what? We can, I love when Amy Guth quotes, we can agree to disagree. We don't have to be disagreeable. I like that.
I always say agree to disagree, and I trademarked it.
No, you did not.
Oh, that's right.
Leader Lou Lang joins us on the line. He is the state representative for the 16th District and has not only on this show, but also on the floor of the House of Representatives, explained that he is not just the representative for the 16th District, but for the state of Illinois. He represents your needs. And we are getting some texts in. Again, we invite you to call us. The conversation is with you, always with you, not at you. 312-981-7200. Leader Lou, you mentioned that the Senate will be picking up the bill. This budget originated in the Senate, and then went over to you guys. You guys had amendments, and now you've passed it. So now it's called concurrence. Is that right?
That's right. There are actually three bills: a revenue bill, in essence, the tax bill. Another bill that would be the spending portion, and another portion of what we call the budget implementation bill, all the little technicalities about how to move the budget along, but creates a slightly new pension procedure for state new state employees, which will save us a lot of money in the future. So there's a lot of work for the Senate to do, but I'm hopeful they will pass all three bills on to the governor.
And once the governor gets the bill, what are the thoughts that what are the indications that
what's he going to do?
What's the governor going to do?
What are the possibilities?
He says he plans to veto these bills, which would be unfortunate. These are bipartisan pieces of legislation that provide cuts and new revenue that's needed to run the state of Illinois. If the governor vetoes them, he'll veto them any time between 5 minutes after he gets them and 60 days. That's the period of time he has.
Is it possible?
I would hope that for the citizens of Illinois, he'll sign it. But my second choice is that he do what he's ever going to do quickly so that the legislature can consider the possibility of overriding the governor's veto.
Do you think the speaker will override the veto? Because I've heard rumors that it's possible that he might not call for an override.
My understanding is that the speaker announced today that it would be his intention to override a veto if the governor vetoes the budget.
And do they in the Senate has also indicated the same?
I have not heard President Cullerton speak on the issue, but I'm quite sure that we can come to a consensus on what to do. And look, the people of the state of Illinois have been without a budget for 3 years. They cannot afford, we cannot afford to continue to have our credit rating downgraded, to continue to have our state universities at risk, our human service delivery system at risk. The state is in a bad way. We've got to get the ship righted, and this is the way to do it.
I have a question, actually, that occurred to me when I was watching the story unfold. There are, I believe, 8 other states that failed to pass a budget. And in New Jersey, of course, everyone's talking about the pictures of Chris Christie. But beyond that, I was fascinated by the fact that things shut down so quickly after they failed to pass a budget. That has not happened in Illinois. We've been without a budget for 3 years, and the people that have really been hit the hardest have been social services, those who care for the elderly. As you mentioned, universities have struggled. Why is it that we've been able to sort of limp along rather as compared to places like New Jersey and other states where they're shutting it down?
There are various courts in the state of Illinois that have ordered certain things be paid. They've ordered state employees be paid. They've ordered that certain human services be paid. One of the reasons we're behind the eight ball and have $15 billion in unpaid bills is that many of these courts ordered the state of Illinois to make these payments based on the last fiscal year budget that was actually approved. And at that time, we had a much higher level of spending than we will if the governor signs these bills. And therefore, we were spending money we didn't have. And that's why we're in the situation we're in today, along with the fact that because we owe providers and vendors of the state of Illinois $15 billion today, we are accumulating interest debt to them at the rate of $11 million a day. Every day, $11 million more in interest is owed to the people to whom the state of Illinois owes money. And this is why this must be stopped now.
We have a listener from your district, as a matter of fact. Margaret wants to join the conversation. Hi, Margaret. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, fine, Patty. Thank you. Representative Lang, I have voted for you many times in the past. My understanding is that the Democrats and you voted to eliminate landline phones or to allow AT&T to do that. And not only myself, but at least a million other people living in Illinois have landline phones, which is what we want to continue with. And I'm sure AT&T has enough resources that they can continue that service for people like myself who don't want to be having some cell phone which is not reliable or anything that's hooked up to electrical system. I've never had a problem with my landline phone in over 60-some years, and I certainly want to keep it. So I'm hoping that bill, or wherever supposedly it's on the governor's desk, doesn't get put into practice.
So my response to you, Margaret, and thank you for asking the question, because a lot of people are confused about this, is that we did not pass a bill that will take away your landline phone. If you have a computer in your house, chances are your phone is connected to the line of your computer, and it's not technically a landline phone, although it looks like a landline phone. So this bill does not do that. This bill allows AT&T to modernize the phone system. very, very few people have the old style landline phone. It's a very small number of people. And if you have cable TV in your home, and if you have a computer in your home.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. No, don't have computer, don't have computer, and don't have cable.
Well, all right. So I'm certainly not aware of the specific wiring in your phone, but if you will call my office, I will put you in touch with appropriate people so you can ask your questions directly to the technical people who can answer your question. But some of the people that have been talking about losing their landline phone are not going to lose their telephone service. And my guess is you are not either.
Well, I hope not. I certainly hope
have
not
you,
because, again,
Margaret,
not everybody.
Margaret,
I'm sorry.
Have you had a chance to call the representative's office with your concerns?
Yes, I have.
And what do they tell you?
Get a voicemail. you know, and again, I'm just one of nearly a million people. Not everybody has computers in their homes, and not everybody can afford cable, nor do they want it. So we just want to keep some means of reliable communication, and the landline phone has been reliable, so we certainly hope we can keep it.
Well, Margaret, I agree with the last thing you said, and if you call my office, we'll get you the information you need for sure.
What number would you have her call, just to make sure?
847-673-7779 or 1131 would be the good four numbers at the end. 847-673-1131, best number.
There you go. And Margaret, if you don't hear from somebody, if you keep getting voicemails, let us know, okay? We'll connect you. We'll do our best to make sure you get your answer. Thank you so much for calling, Margaret. Kevin, I wanted to get your call as well. I know this is a thought that a lot of people have, and Leader Lou is open to your comments. Go ahead, Kevin.
Thank you very much. I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm 75 years old, lived in the state all my life. To me, Michael Madigan is the source of all problems down in Springfield. He's created problems with every governor. He's been down there. They need new leadership and more fiscal discipline down there. Michael Madigan,
Kevin,
is the source of all problems.
Kevin, can I ask you a question? If you get a chance, there is an interview with Governor Edgar where he actually has said that, you know, while he might have had his run-ins with Speaker Madigan, and I encourage you to do so, but there is an interview with former Governor Edgar where he outlines that it is the responsibility of the governor to lead. And while he might have had trouble with Madigan, he certainly wasn't. It wasn't something that he couldn't work with him. Was that your understanding, Leader Lou?
That is my understanding. You know, many times I've heard this comment, and when I ask most people, well, what is it about Speaker Madigan you really don't like? Most people can't give me a reason. Let me explain to you. In the 40-plus years Mike Madigan's been a state representative, we've had a budget all but 3 years. The only 3 years we haven't had a budget are during the years of Bruce Rauner. I have worked with Mike Madigan through 6 governors, Republican and Democratic. And, you know, every single year we've had a budget.
And that's four. I believe that would be four.
You should be proud of the fact that he is the brick wall between Bruce Rauner and the people of the state of Illinois.
And I believe that would be 4 Republican governors and 2 Democrat, correct?
That would be correct.
Because earlier I was on John Williams' show and people were saying that Michael Madigan has run the state for 40 years. And I was trying to do the math and that didn't seem correct to me.
Well, I can't remember what year he started, but it's 40-plus years. I don't know how many years he's been speaker, 30-plus years. The point is that just because someone is in power, just because someone is in office, just because the state of Illinois has had its troubles over the years, doesn't mean it's a one-man show. A lot of people have been involved, a lot of legislators, both sides of the aisle, both chambers, a lot of governors. But the point here is that a lot of people are tense that we don't have a budget and haven't had a budget. And for some reason, the reason being tens of millions of dollars spent by Bruce Rauner to bloody this man up, for some reason, people think he's the problem. But we've had a budget every single year under every governor until Bruce Rauner. I'll let you do the math.
Leader Lou, I want to thank you so much for your time. Kevin, thank you so much for your call and for expressing your concerns. And I really do appreciate hearing from you. Look forward to hearing from you again. Leader Lou, we'll talk to you back down in Springfield. Not sure when I'll head down. I'm trying to play it by ear, depending on what the governor decides to do. Like you said, he could do it. He could decide to veto in 5 minutes, or he could let it sit on his desk for 60 days. That's kind of the range we have right now. Right.
That's it. And, you know, we're always happy to have you down here, Patty, because you're one of these people that come down and really cares about each thing we're doing. I know you have a great interest in the human service delivery system in Illinois. The budget we just passed will make it tons better. Trust me.
That's all of it. It's a better future for Illinoisans that I want to make sure that when I go, that my sons will stay in Illinois. I love my city. I love my state. And that's why I keep showing up in Springfield. Sir, have a great evening and have a wonderful 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to all the listeners. And of course to you, Patty. Take care.
Thank you so much, sir. More after this on 720 WGN.
Teddy Roosevelt's coming.
A statesman you could rely on.
This is John Williams. Join me with TR August 12th at the Mac at the College of DuPage. Our big shtick conversation will be a rousing review of Roosevelt's life and his views on current events, too.
People loved me because I said what I meant, and I meant what I said.
Tickets at WGNradio.com/events. Sponsored by American Sale.
You're listening pretty late. Coming up after the news, let's find out about the Irish American Heritage Center. And James Vickery is in studio. James, you want to order pizza? Is that your plan?
I do. For the holiday.
We have to have holiday pizza. That's what everybody says. We will make that happen in one way or another. Esmeralda, are you hungry? You're up until like what, tomorrow? You're up for 48 hours. Is that right?
No.
That's a yes.
I know.
I have my regular time.
Plus. Oh, that's right. Because you're here till 5 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. Disregard.
Yeah. Regular old day.
Well, also 4th of July. And we'll be in the Skokie Parade at noon. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Here with your news, which is it sponsored? No, it's not. It's sponsored in the sense that I love hearing from Roger Badish. Here with everything you need to know is Mr. Roger Badish.
Thank you very much. A small airplane crash that killed 6 people in northern Wisconsin happened when the plane fell apart in the air. National Transportation Safety Board Eric Weiss says debris from the crash suggests there was an in-flight breakup. Communication recordings indicate there was a discussion between the pilot of the plane and air traffic controllers about local weather phenomenon shortly before the crash on Saturday. Most of those on the plane were from the Chicago area. President Trump has tweeted about North Korea's latest ballistic missile launch. He wrote in 2 consecutive tweets, "Does this guy have anything better to do with his life? Hard to believe that South Korea and Japan will put up with this much longer. Perhaps China will put a heavy move on North Korea and end this nonsense once and for all." That was the complete tweet. South Korean officials say North Korea launched a ballistic missile Tuesday morning that is believed to have landed in the Sea of Japan. University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents wants to raise student fees and housing rates. They'll vote on the measure Thursday. The budget keeps resident undergraduate tuition frozen as per a legislative mandate, but it calls for raising student fees and housing costs by an average of 2.6% across the system's 4-year schools. We'll check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Hey, kiddo. How was school?
Pretty good. Aced the math test.
That's great. Say, we need to plan something for Mom's birthday. You have any ideas?
I think you should just call Arkadek, Dad.
Arkadek? Who are they?
Dad, Mom has been saying she wants a place to gather the family and enjoy our backyard for years. It's time.
Okay, Arkadek. Did she say what she wanted them to do exactly?
Not sure, but they do screen porches, sunrooms, paver patios, decks, outdoor kitchens, fire features,
pergolas. Okay, got it. So
just call Arkadek, Dad. They'll take you through the process step by step, helping you visualize and design what you want.
Okay. This sounds easy. I don't suppose you have their number?
Just go to their website, Dad. It's packed with pictures of hundreds of projects they've built for Chicagoland families. ArkadekofChicagoland.com.
Nice work, kid. How'd you get so smart?
Listening to Mom.
Right.
Arkadek. It all begins with your free in-person design consultation. Visit ArkadekofChicagoland.com. Arkadek Outdoor Living. Better building by design.
WGN Sports. Cubs taking the day off. The White Sox in Oakland. They're very late in the game. Sox have a 7-2 lead right now. Let's check WGN traffic. Esmeralda Leon.
Right now, we are still watching an accident on the southbound side of Bishop Ford. It's at 170th. Two right lanes are down. We are seeing the delays, and they start at about 162nd Street. So keep that all in mind. The northbound side, though, that is looking good. You're all clear there. Edens is also running with no problems. Kennedy is running with no delays. Eisenhower, Stevenson, all looking good on the DN Ryan. 14 minutes on both sides. We are seeing slight delays that start at about Roosevelt Road on the inbound side. Lakeshore Drive running with no problems as well. On I-57, that's clear. And the tolls right now, you're all clear there. 355 a little slow around Army Trail Road. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Esmeralda Leon, WGN Traffic Central.
And your forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. The rest of the overnight, partly cloudy, breezy, low around 66. On your 4th of July, mostly sunny, high near 76. On Wednesday, about a 20% chance for showers after 2 in the afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 78. Right now, 67 at O'Hare, 66 in Kankakee, and along the lakefront, 69 at Midway. Lake Michigan water temperature also 69. The winds out of the northeast at 8. Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour. I'm Roger Badish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, July 7th, 8th, and 9th. It is time for Irish Fest at the Irish American Heritage Center. And joining us in the studio is Kathy O'Neill. You are the Director of Media and Public Relations and, right? All those. I don't know your title anymore, really.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
It does matter. It's important.
Public relations manager.
Public relations manager. And every year I love coming to this. James, did
we performed there last year?
We performed in the wonderful auditorium. Had a really fun show. And you have another comedy show this year with Joe Kilgallen.
Yes.
And a bunch of other comics.
And you too, right?
I don't know.
Oh.
Am I on the list?
I think so. Yeah. All right. Saturday at 9:45.
I should probably put that on my calendar. Yes. I'm performing at 9:45 on Saturday. What room is the comedy show going to be in?
We have a new stage outside called the Folk Stage. And so it will be right in the parking lot.
It's
no pressure.
As they're coming in.
Last year it was in like that school auditorium feel, which I like that. It was like making up for every assembly I was ever part of.
And the music is amazing. There are there's some Irish dancing lessons that you guys have.
Absolutely, yeah. And Trinity Irish Dancers do lessons for kids of any age. So you don't have to bring any kind of shoes. The kids just dance in their socks. And you see a lot of like 3 and 4 year olds trying out a step.
And how about the, do you have a kids zone again?
Yes, we do. We have kids area open all day Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And so we have visits from Irish Wolfhound dogs, which are these beautiful, gentle dogs. We also have birds of prey coming. Mm-hmm. So some falcons, but we just keep them away from the dogs.
Yeah.
Sounds like a mismatch.
Yeah, no kidding.
We have a big fire truck coming on Sunday. Some face painting, some live music from the Irish Music School of Chicago. Sean Cleland will be with us in a little while playing music. He's got a great school. They had a camp at the Irish American Heritage Center this week, and so the kids between ages about 5 and 16 will be out playing what they learned at the camp.
Really?
On Saturday
at
5.
What a great sort of camp graduation.
Exactly.
I love that. And where can folks get tickets for the fest?
You can visit our website at www.irishfestchicago.com or give us a call at 773-282-7035. And if you get in before the end of the day on the 5th, they're $10. And then after that, they're $15 at the door. But kids 12 and under are free. And we also have free parking.
Excellent. Yes, you do. I love going to Irish Fest. It's so much fun.
It's so much fun.
There's so much going on. There's dancing. There's eating. There's drinking. There's, you know, the kids running around. It's just a blast. And some of the bands that you have. When is Gaelic Storm performing?
Gaelic Storm is on Sunday at 8:15 p.m. on the main stage. We also we're really lucky to get this band this year called We Banjo 3. They've been in Chicago before, but this is their first time at the center, and they play some really great kind of Americana, oldie timey, really great folk roots music, and they're on right before Gaelic Storm. And then we've got some local acts, the Boyles, Bua, Baltina. Those are all really great traditional Irish music bands who play around the city. In addition to some pipe bands, we have the Shannon Rovers Irish Pipe Band, who I know have been on the show here before.
Yes.
And the bagpipes and drums of the Emerald Society. And those are the bagpipers who are police officers.
Right.
So that's right in the middle of the parking lot. And people seem to really like that because they'll just come out of nowhere and start wailing.
And then you've got food from the Abbey Pub.
We do. Yeah, we have, in addition to things like fish and chips and shepherd's pie and things like that, we also have American food because not everybody likes Irish food.
Well, you were the first place I ever actually, I used to have jokes about being Irish and Mexican, and it was the first place I ever saw, I actually saw corned beef tacos.
Yes, corned beef tacos, and then I think the Abbey has Irish egg rolls, which really don't sound good, but they are.
They are delicious, yes. They're fantastic. And then you also have that area where there are crafts and all kinds of wonderful.
We have vendors selling jewelry and CDs and improbable things like an Irish sweater when it's 90 degrees out. But there's some really great crafters.
I buy mittens every year from I do at Irish Fest. I buy my mittens because they always have they have really nice wool mittens.
Yeah, there's some great vendors indoors and out. And then also one of the things that makes this kind of different than a street fest is we have on our second floor, we have cultural programming all up and down the hallway. It's our arts wing. So it's where our museum, our library, and our art gallery are.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have an exhibit of Irish art. We'll also have a book sale in the library, but we have like an intro to the Irish language where you can learn, hello, goodbye, maybe a curse word, and some music in the hallway. So when you come up to the second floor, you might see a harpist playing in the middle of the hallway, and then you can wander in down the hallway and see somebody quilting and showing you how to do Irish knitting and things like that. So that's all on our second floor with the idea that it's a little bit of what we do all year long.
And you also have the genealogy experts there as well.
Yeah, it's really nice. Brian Donovan is our genealogist, and we tell people, just bring something. Because a lot of people are very overwhelmed. They don't know how to begin to search their roots. So we said, just bring a piece of paper, something that you know you have, and if not, we'll figure it out. But that's a great way for people spend hours up there because they're just so interested in learning where they're from.
Yeah, it's very cool. James, were you going to ask
something? Well, it really is one of the best fests I've been in Chicago. There's parts like every corner of that building, there's something happening. Bagpipers in the bathrooms. I remember.
Wow.
Are you sure those are bagpipers? I
didn't see that. Wow. We are 86,000 square feet.
Wow.
So it's this old City of Chicago school that looks like Hogwarts. And
yes.
We do aim to use every part of the building. And so that's why it's great if it rains. Can come inside. We've got six different stages, a couple different bars all over. Can get a good pint of Guinness. But it's also nice for families too, because we have six or seven dance schools, and a lot of times the moms and dads and grandparents don't actually get to see their kids dance because they're in competition a lot. So this is just more of a relaxed way for these kids to come out. It's not March. They're not doing 100 performances. They're not competing. It's just a really nice, fun summer performance with kids anywhere from 4 to about 21 years old dancing.
And will they be dancing in the auditorium as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and they're so sweet too. When you see the little ones and then the girls, I mean, some of them, and the boys are just tremendous.
The little ones are all business too. It's like very serious.
Can you say something, Paul?
No, I saw when Conan O'Brien came there, right?
Yeah, and, when Conan came, it was really funny. He grabbed my arm and said, "How many bars do you have in here?" And I started counting in my head. And I said something like, "Well, we roll bars into certain rooms, about 9. And he said, "Stop everything, stop, stop, stop." Went and got his producer and was like, "Tell them what you said." So he came was supposed to be there an hour, and he was about there about 7 hours.
Yeah.
And he was a lot of fun.
It was very a really nice. Funny segment.
And then when they showed the segment down at the Chicago Theater, they invited all of us to the Chicago Theater and put us up in an opera box.
So
it was really nice.
And they did a scene too.
They did. He really did kick the young girl in the head accidentally.
What?
But then he brought her up on stage at the Chicago Theater.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's a big tipper. He left $45 on one beer. But I walked in on him changing in the bar. So he is
a little pasty.
That's why I paid you the $45.
We all, that's what we say about Irish fest is, a lot full of sunburnt people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, mid-July.
Yeah. Well, let's learn a little bit more about Irish fest. We were hanging out with Kathy O'Neill, who is the manager of public relations at the Irish American Heritage Center. And the website again is
www.irishfestchicago.com, and that'll give you the full lineup of all the full entertainment schedule.
And let's do a sound check with our musicians as well when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. James Vickery is in studio with us, stopping in for a couple weeks from Los Angeles. Yeah. You're bi-coastal.
If you consider Lake Michigan a coast.
I think it's a coast.
It looks like it from then.
Exactly. You know,
today it does.
It's very coasty.
Comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire. We have the managing director of public relations for the Irish American Heritage Center, Kathy O'Neill. It's Irish Fest time at the Irish American Heritage Center this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
It is. We're very excited. This is our 32nd year.
I was going to ask you the history of Irish Fest, and you haven't been at the. Have you been at that building for 32 years?
Yes, since 1985. So I believe that it might have started as something called Irish Days, maybe down in Navy Pier. But it's been going strong, at least at our location, for a very long time, because we've got this huge parking lot and then a great four floors on the inside of the building. And we use most of that space inside as well.
So it gets crowded, but it doesn't get overwhelming.
No, because you can move around and there's six different stages.
Right.
So it's really great if you want to. We also have a tea room. So if you want to kind of cool off and have some proper tea and scones, we do that from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday.
There's also a bar in that room as well.
There is a bar.
Just in case. And there if might someone be, with you wants property, but you be, also
yes,
want to drink.
There might be a bar in that bathroom where you had those bagpipers playing.
With the bagpipers. Yes. Those are actually bartenders.
What I was able to discover last time I was there, because I often am kind of exploring a lot of different things, and I finally made it into the room where you have a collection of Irish china and things that were brought over and donated. Are those donated or on loan
yeah,
to
Yeah,
to
it's
you?
Our museum, and it's that will be open as well. And it's not a huge museum, but it's got a beautiful collection of what's called Balik china, and that was donated by a priest. And it's beautiful handcrafted china that is probably one of the biggest collections of its kind in North America.
What?
We also yeah.
I did not know
yeah.
that.
And we also
Look at
have
you.
Some really cool sheet music from Chief Francis O'Neill, who was the chief of police. And then there's the restaurant on the Northwest side, who kind of took all these collections of sheet music and kind of saved it from being tossed. So right. a lot of the tunes you hear today are because this man took the time to save Irish music.
And there was a gentleman there who was giving, kind of a history lesson, yes. a little bit of a tour. And it's mm-hmm. really, it's such a wonderful
it's
experience.
Beautiful, yes. And then right across the hallway is our art gallery, and we'll have a members art show. So a lot of our, it's really nice. A lot of our members and volunteers have these really great side gigs as artists. And there's going to be a woman who's going to be doing Irish spinning. So she's going to be spinning
wool?
Yes. Or, oh. Yes. And then okay.
I really had no idea. I was like, just spinning herself.
No, but Lise got very excited because she teaches spin class, and she was like, wait, is there?
Oh, that would have been cool too.
Oh, no. Could she spin while riding a bike? And
while reading poetry.
Exactly. There's a lot going on there.
And then our quilting group, Nimble Thimbles, they'll be showing a little bit of how to make an Irish quilt.
That's got to be the best quilting group name in the country. Right?
Also my Nimble improv Thimbles. Team name.
Yeah.
Nimble Thimble?
Yeah.
That's a good name. So you've got so much going on this weekend. And tell people a little bit about where, how this, how you guys came to be.
Sure.
The Irish American Heritage Center.
We're up on the northwest side at 4626 North Knox. So it's right at Wilson and Cicero. And it's a big 86,000 square foot building. There were a lot of people in Chicago who came over from Ireland that wanted to find a place to gather. So they looked at this building and it was in disrepair. And then they bought it for a song in 1985. And every week we have people come and fix it up. So anybody from somebody who wants to help trim the hedges to retired tradesmen and women who are tuck pointing in the building and painting and just making it better and better every week. But it does take a lot of work because it's such a big building. And we have about 100 events per year with everything from this Irish Fest with about 15,000 people to a lecture series, some plays, with the bar being open for music every week. And we also have live session music on Thursday night where anybody can come in and play an instrument no matter what level. We have a lot of weddings there and parties, but it really is just a testament to the Irish community in Chicago to see what we've built since we opened in 1985.
And it's just right there in the neighborhood too.
It is. A lot of people don't realize, they think, well, where is it? But once they get up there, we have all this because we're right off of the Montrose Blue Line or the Lawrence bus. And then once you're up there, you can park for free. So a lot of people, once they're up there, they realize they want to come back. So they'll show up for St. Patrick's Day or Irish Fest, and then they'll realize they want to come back and take a class or come back and have a pint in the bar. We have a, we're open Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Is that library someplace you can borrow books from? Because it looks like you're okay. So it's a traditional library.
Yes, and you can take books out, and it's a great collection of books that were donated for many, many years before we opened up. I believe we opened our library in about 2006.
Okay,
so it's a great collection of books, CDs, and also that's where we have our genealogy sessions. We have memoir writing classes where people can take down their stories, and then some of our writers, myself included in the group, we go and do storytelling around the city telling our Irish stories.
It's a wonderful experience to hang out at the Irish American Heritage Center. And also I want to make sure people know that it is handicap accessible. You've got ramps so people can come in through various doors. And also every floor is accessible by elevator.
Yes, and we do. Yeah, we have the elevators and the ramps and the restrooms as well. So, and we also tell people we'll find a good space for you too. If people come in wheelchairs, we try and find you a good place by the stage, because a lot of people, they want to be able to see the music. So we make sure, just look for somebody with a walkie-talkie and we'll get you a good seat.
Excellent. And are there any sponsors that you want to make sure we talk about as well? Because I know that you guys also do a little bit of fundraising when it comes to this.
We do. And this is one of our biggest fundraisers. So we'll have Guinness there. And they're always good to us. And one of the prizes this year, we do a raffle every year. And one of the big prizes, and the tickets are only like $2 a piece, is two tickets to Ireland. And then once you're there, you get a behind the scenes tour at the Guinness in Dublin. And it's the tour that it's like, that like Bill Clinton would get, or, you know,
the VIP tour.
Yeah, it's the one that like dignitaries would get, or if you were like a rock star or something. So that's kind of a really nice thing that they've thrown in for us.
Paul, are you a fan of Guinness?
Yeah, when I drink beer, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I'm not a beer drinker, so.
James?
I'm not.
You're not a fan of Guinness?
No, but I would go on that tour.
Yeah. Well, also.
What about the whiskey?
And then also, it's.
I'll bring a flask.
Yeah.
Yes. It's still a fest. We still have Miller Lite and things like that. We're going to have a whiskey tasting, but with a new whiskey called Slane. That'll be kind of all day, Saturday and Sunday afternoon, where you can just come and test it out.
So you do the whiskey early and then the beers later.
Yeah, or that makes sense. Whatever you like.
You have a schedule for when you consume.
No, you drink liquor before beer.
That's true.
Is it true? I have no idea.
I don't
plan these things
out. I think do whatever you like.
pace yourself, everything in moderation.
And wear sunblock.
Definitely
and
wear
drink water.
And drink water.
Yeah. Do we know yet? Have you looked at Tom Skilling's 10-day, 2-week forecast?
Yes, I can't stop, but I try not to. Yeah, it's really supposed to be nice. I think maybe overcast a little bit, but not as hot as it's been or it could be. I mean, there are years where it's 95 degrees or it poured, but it looks to be pretty nice for the whole weekend.
And this, by the way, is for everyone. Irish Fest isn't, you know, I guess it's just going to be a bunch of Irish people hanging out. This is for everybody. It's a wonderful sense of community. Mm-hmm. It's really fun for all ages. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, we get a lot of neighborhood folks. And also, it's not all traditional Irish music. We do have some bands that play like kind of Irish covers, like Van Morrison, Elvis Costello, things like that. So I think people will like the music, but also just to browse the vendors and also to see some of our, we have a one-act play, we have some poetry
readings. Oh, wonderful.
So it's a lot of fun.
And you guys just had your Hall of Fame inductees. How cool was that with Brian Noonan and all the dignitaries?
It was really cool. So yeah, well, Brian Noonan was our MC, and he's very funny, very
self-deprecating?
Yes. And we were honoring Bill Murray.
Yes.
And so his whole family came. I'd say out of 9 kids, there was about 6 who came. His brother Joel's an actor. Mm-hmm. He came out. Their sister Nancy, who's a nun, who does a one-woman show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Bill came out and he was very honored and very deeply moved by receiving the award, and stayed with us till 12:30 at night and came downstairs and listened to the music in the bar.
Oh, basically
posed for pictures for one full hour after the event was over. And you could see he was tired, but he was having a lot of fun, and he wanted to. And
Do you get the feeling he's going to stop by again for other events?
I hope so. We've had his brother Joel has been our MC before.
Okay. Was it Bill Murray's first time there?
Yes. Yes.
I was a little bit sad to hear that Martin Sheen was also honored, but not there.
He couldn't make it. He had another event that night, he did his award by,
Skype.
I believe he's on a TV show on Netflix.
Okay.
And so the show was able to shoot the video for us to accept the award. So, and then we honored Mark and Scott Kelly, twin astronauts who went to my high school in New Jersey that I nominated 6 years ago, and they finally got in.
So got around to that one. And tell us about the, when we come back from the news, we're going to feature some music. Who do we have in studio with
us? We have Sean Cleland and Marta Cook, and Sean's going to be playing the fiddle and Marta is going to be playing the harp, and both of them will be playing all weekend at the fest.
Excellent. So some music when we come back. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is Music Monday, and this weekend is Irish Fest. So we are thrilled to welcome Sean and Marta in studio for a preview of what you'll hear at Irish Fest. Here they are with some fun music.
Yes.
Outstanding. Very thank you guys awesome. So much. That was wonderful. Again, that was Marta Cook on the harp, Sean Cleland on the fiddle, and they'll be performing this weekend at the Irish American Heritage Center over by there, over in it's called the Mayfair neighborhood.
Yeah, Mayfair.
Mm-hmm. And we'll also have lots of music, food. There are activities for the kids. You can go find out a little bit about your genealogy. One of my friends from grade school actually does, Terry O'Connell, does
yeah,
some
she's
of the
a great genealogist. Yeah.
And so many people, James, you're of Irish descent as well?
I have a 20% in there.
20%? Mm-hmm. Have you broken it down?
Yeah.
Have you ever done one of those DNA tests?
I have.
I thought about doing that at Cotton. Have you done that, Kathy?
Mine said I was 80% Irish, 20% Jersey. So
that's fantastic. Have you ever done it, Paul?
No, I have not.
I thought you're pretty, convinced of your...
Yeah, I think
what do you mean it doesn't apply? Maybe there's something else back there, you know?
No, I
way
I
back
don't
in
know
your
if
past.
We don't have enough information after a certain period of time.
What do you mean? Your DNA?
Well,
you can do a DNA test. Oh, you
I
mean
thought,
as far records?
Yeah,
you can do a cotton swab thing where you send it in and they'll tell you like your genetic makeup.
But I thought that certain countries didn't have the
cotton swabs?
No, no, no. Like to tell you what your family tree. Maybe I'm thinking of the family tree thing.
The are you saying that you have more of a? It's kind of a straight up and down instead of a lot of branches. What are you talking about?
I think it's just everyone's from Iran, and they're just like, well, I don't know. It's either the west side or the east side or the north side or the south side.
Fair enough.
But the cotton swab will tell you.
But the cotton swab will say exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe he doesn't want to know.
That's fair. Are there people? I'm kind of curious. I've also heard that it's kind of a ballpark thing too when they do
guess.
Those.
Yes.
Yeah, they kind of have to sort of go by certain markers and see what it is.
Yeah, I'll do it. Who is this? Is
I'm not challenging
that,
you. I'm not like
I'll do any.
Like,
I'll do whatever.
Where is Oregon? The Maury Povich show now? Well, what, who's saying he's my kid? Prove it. I didn't answer any calls for 2 weeks after Father's
How
Day.
Would your parents react if you told them that you were of the? Because I remember I got a phone call one time. My legal last name was actually created during the Spanish Inquisition. In Spain, and a lot of the people who fled went to like France, they went to Ireland, they went to Germany, they went to Puerto Rico. So there are people all over the world with our last name. So my dad, you know, we're not necessarily just Irish. We may also be Jewish, Spanish Jewish. And my dad got really, he was like, no, we are Irish and that's it. But there's so much more that goes into that. You know?
Can I just say today we're all American?
We are all American. Happy 4th of July.
For the last time, the last 4th of July. It's like the last supper, if you
will. What are you talking about?
Oh, nothing.
What? What are you worried about? What kind of panic
are
you trying to spread?
Nonsense.
Just because of a tweet?
Which
a nuclear tweet? Is there a nuclear tweet that you're worried about? Oh, look at Roger's
fine.
Come in all very patriotic. Come on, and sit down, Roger. Come and grab a seat over here. Over by. Are you done?
Over by there.
Are you done for the evening?
Not necessarily.
What do you mean not necessarily? Okay then.
Oh, by the way,
what day is today? I'm so thrown off.
It's the 4th of July.
I know, it feels like a Friday.
Yeah, but it's
Tuesday.
You're giving me a poster of myself. That's always
well, yeah.
I'm on the poster along with David Kaplan, and it's so funny. I heard people teasing you for promoting other TV and radio stations.
Hey, he's from Skokie. What do you want?
What are you now? What's a 3D fireworks show? That's
So it's a regular fireworks show, but you get 3D glasses.
Ooh,
to watch them.
So it looks a little more sparkly.
A lot more sparkly. A lot more like multidimensional, otherworldly.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting. What are your plans tomorrow for the 4th of July, Kathy?
My birthday is Wednesday.
Happy birthday.
Hey. Congratulations.
So, I mean, it's been a long couple of weeks getting ready for the fest.
I can imagine. Thank you for doing this so late at night, too.
This is fun. So tomorrow's just kind of a local barbecue and keep working a little bit in anticipation that once Friday... There's no turning back. The tents came in today, and we started getting ready and putting everything up. And
there's no turning back. Like, do you always kind of think, like, maybe I don't have to do
it
this year?
Yeah.
But somebody will always show up.
Yes, of
so,
course.
So, no, it's very exciting, but it is a lot of work. We
of
start
course.
Working on it in December, and we have a really great committee of probably about 25 or 30 people, and then about 400 or 500 volunteers.
Well, your persistence, your passion, and your commitment to making sure that this all goes smoothly shows through every year. It's always a wonderful turnout and a great experience.
Yes.
So I'm congratulating you ahead of time. Is that bad luck?
No, we'll take it.
Yeah, congratulations ahead of time. How about if I congratulate you on all the collection of amazing successes you've had in the past?
Yes, I'll take it.
And wish you the very best on the next.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, because last year you and I performed, and it was the first time they'd ever done comedy,
yeah.
So I was like running around trying to get audience
in
the auditorium.
Did you have a hook?
I was like, hey, everybody, we're doing comedy in the auditorium. And so this year there will be a comedy tent. And
yes.
The reason that I kind of have a catch in my throat is that it's been a while since I've done comedy in a tent. And yeah, exactly. It's an adventure for comedians. Yes. So.
It is.
Yeah. It's one of those things where the people kind of like wander by and they stand there, they move on. Are they going to have walls to the tent? Are they going to set it up? I would recommend walls to the tent. Because we did it at Chicago. We did it at Taste of Chicago year, and we set it up like a comedy club.
Mm-hmm.
So the tent had walls, and there was it was actually me and Hannibal Buress and Kevin. I think Kevin Naughton was there. A bunch of us did. The Zanies had set up a stage.
Well, that's a great idea.
This does not have walls. It's a kind room.
I'll be bringing my own walls.
Okay. I always travel with walls.
BYOW show. Oh, it's one of those.
Yikes. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's totally fine. No, because I've seen my entire career, I've seen comedians do, like, even before I started, when I was a kid, I saw comics performing at Summerfest. And I was sitting in the front row, and, like, there's nobody in the tent because they're there for music. Right. And so, like, nobody's there. And I saw Will Durst. I saw I think I saw Richard Jenner. They used to bring big headliners there, but there would be nobody in the tent because they didn't know that it was comedy. And, like, people would be standing around the edges. And I remember feeling bad for them. And then I've performed at Summerfest and been like, no, I know what it feels like. They used to put us in front of the like, they had carnival rides, like, right at the very front, so you would hear, like, the buzzing and the beeping of the carnival rides, and
right during, like, a setup.
Yeah, it was I opened for Lewis Black there, and it was a lot of fun. But that's why you heard, like, I got a little bit of a panic attack when you told me
that's fine.
No, it'll be fun.
It'll be so fun.
It'll be very fun. I'll be there performing on Saturday night along with, do you know who the other comedians are? Joe Kilgallen will
yes,
be there?
Yes, yes. And after that, I think we were hoping you would introduce Scythian.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Really Scythian great. Is at what time?
Let me see.
Scythian. 9:30. 9:30. Mm-hmm. So, excellent. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I would introduce him after.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
We'll figure out the
No, no, no. It's, so there, Scythian is at 9:30, mm-hmm. and then the comedy stage is at 9:45, mm-hmm. and that is going to be so much fun. Yes. Again, we are hanging out. Do you guys want to do another song, or are you all song? You want to do another song? Okay, we'll take a break here. More music from Marta and Sean, and all the great music for the Irish American Heritage Center. So much stuff. Go to the IrishFest.com website to find out more information. And Roger, where should people find out more information about our parade tomorrow?
They can go on Skokie 4th of July Parade online, or just show up for the parade. Starts at noon.
Yes.
You will be at the front of the parade, so they want to get an early seat so they can catch you as you drive by in the WGN van.
I will drive the appropriate speed as I've been instructed.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. There may be some other people from WGN. They asked if they could tag along, so there may be some there.
I was hoping. I sent out an email and I told Todd to let people know, and we'll also have t-shirts to hand out
right.
at your
and
parade.
We might have some Wounded Warriors
excellent
with us, and then of course see all the great bands and participants in the parade. So again, starts at noon. It rolls out from the Oakton Community College parking lot on Lincoln Avenue, just north of Howard Street, and it goes all the way to Oakton, and Oakton east to just past Skokie Boulevard, which is where I will eventually end up at the VIP tent and talking to everybody who comes by and introducing all the acts and having a great time as usual.
Excellent. I'm very glad that I was able to get back for that. I didn't want to tell you until I knew for sure I was coming back.
And I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried at all.
No, I was like, I'm going home because I was you know what? It's going to pass or not pass. In the Senate, I watch most of the stuff happen. The budget happened online as well. Everyone can watch what's going on in Springfield at ilga.gov. And for those who are wondering about my family, apparently there's some concern about the fact that I didn't use birth control to prevent my son, Declan, from happening. So thank you so much for that. That's very kind of you. My husband is a stay-at-home dad. And so very much like people who have jobs where they travel a little bit for their work. But other than that, thank you so much for your concern and your unchristian-like behavior. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is Music Monday, and I'm thrilled to welcome some of the performers who are performing this weekend at the Irish Fest. You can go to irishfest.com for ticket information, but right now you can hear them live. Here are Sean and Marta, fiddle and harp. 3, 4. Thank you.
song.
Woo. I wanted to stomp my foot along, but I would throw off the rhythm so poorly.
You would have done what?
I heard
it.
I wanted to stomp along, but I would ruin it.
Oh, come on.
I have no rhythm.
It's festive.
Is that you, Sean, that was stomping? I can't see your feet. Someone was stomping. That was you?
Okay, I think it was Marta. If you guys, I feel badly. Do you want to come over and have a seat, Sean, for a moment?
No.
Marta, the music speaks for itself.
They're like, you know what? We're going to stand behind our music, and that's fine. That's just fine. Again, that's music from Marta Cook on harp and Sean Cluland on fiddle. They'll be performing this weekend at the Irish American Heritage Center's Irish Fest. Go to irishfest.com for information about shows, all the performers, the amazing food and drinks, and the kids area. Kathy, what am I forgetting? All the museum on the second floor, the artwork.
Museum, library. I just want to tell you the website is irishfestchicago.com.
I apologize. That's okay. Thank you very much. irishfestchicago.com. And because you would probably go on the irishfest.com and be like, this isn't happening this weekend. It's somewhere else. irishfestchicago.com. My apologies, anyone who's gone to the wrong place. It would not be the first time I've given someone the wrong directions. I'm so, when people ask me for directions, I panic. When I get directions, I only need like the first part of it because I'm not going to remember the rest of it.
Oh yeah.
Thank God for GPS. I mean, does anybody ask for directions anymore?
No, I don't trust people that do.
Do you know what my husband used to do? Steve used to carry around copies because he has such a friendly face that strangers would always stop him on the street. So he would carry around CTA maps so he could just like give them maps of the city. Wow. He would just keep a stash of them. I always thought that was so
can I have
like
88 cents. No, but I have a map for you.
Exactly. It could also be kind of rude. Like, hey, can I help with directions? He just hands him a map.
Yeah,
like,
he would do that.
Figure it out.
No. It's also helpful. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like that idea of you give someone a fish.
That's right.
He would teach them how to know something like that. Do you think it's rude? I thought it was very industrious of him.
I thought it's being well.
I'd have
prepared
to see the specific interaction.
All right.
It's all yeah,
that's a good point. Exactly. How does it go down?
Yeah, exactly.
Kathy, I want to make sure that everyone has the information. Thank you so much for always coming down.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's sure. Irish Fest is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. IrishFestChicago.com, and tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the door. Children 12 and under are free, and there's free parking. And if the lots are full, then we have a shuttle that goes back and forth all weekend.
Excellent. And also, like you said, it's right off the train line. So mm-hmm. easy to get there from the Blue Line, right off the Kennedy at the Wilson exit, right over by there. Thank you so much, Kathy. Thank you so much, Marta and Sean. Have a great 4th of July. We will talk to you again. So I'll get a selfie with you before you go. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is the 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, everybody.
Yay. Happy Independence Day.
This is exciting.
It's going to be a great one.
Yay.
Maybe the last.
Stop it. Why do you keep saying that?
It's not very possible.
Esmeralda, does that sound a little bit doomsday-ish? Are you of the same concern?
It's not really a concern. It's more of a, that's probably going to happen.
I guess it could be any year. We could say that about any year.
Sure.
Yeah, it could have happened at any time. This has always been an experiment. You know, this is something we all have to be involved in, engaged in, democracy. You know, keeping each other, having each other's back.
There are so many quotes here at the Tribune Tower about media being that last bastion. To fight for democracy.
And now that it's gone. it's been beat to a pulp.
It's not gone.
By a wrestler.
It's not gone. Well, that was interesting. Brandon Weatherby, who has been a co-host with Esmeralda before. She also has been on his show, You, Me, Them, Everyone. Them, You, Me, Everyone.
Everybody.
And he wrote a piece for Newsweek magazine about that exact tweet that President Trump sent out where he is wrestling, but because he actually did participate in some of the big wrestling matches. I don't understand the wrestling world, even having watched the entire series of Glow. I'm still not quite sure, but there is the face, there's the heel. I'm learning a lot about the storytelling and professional wrestling and really
storytelling. I don't understand what you mean.
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. Brandon Weatherby wrote a great piece about how this is really just part of, you know, the Trump supporters and fans of wrestling get what he was saying and what he was doing, and everybody else is just freaking out about it. So
he also, FYI, yes, co-author of the book "The Donald: How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling."
Exactly. Mm.
So check that out.
So maybe I wonder at what point Brandon Weatherby goes, "Okay, wait, is the president now reading my stuff?" I mean, now it's there, right? I would imagine in Newsweek magazine, that's got to come across his desk. And I wouldn't be surprised if Brandon Weatherby should be expecting a tweet, you know? I mean, that would be a nice little nod to
I think
Brandon.
He would welcome it.
I think so, too. It's all part of the show. I mean, at this point, look, there is a moment where it becomes a natural progression of where we are as a culture, that everything is instantaneous. It's all entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, when people know more about the Kardashians than they do about democracy, then that's what you get.
Soon your doctor will also be in improv, you know, as you
yes.
go.
Yeah. I mean, there was a point where more people were voting for American Idol than were showing up to vote for their elected officials. So why would we be surprised at all? I'm not saying
it's
give up.
It's a modern presidency. It's a modern president.
It's a natural progression of where we are going as a culture. So happy 4th of July!
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I agree with that. It's where we're going.
It's where we're going.
Where does it end?
And what do we do? People have to be engaged and involved. You know, I mentioned earlier on John Williams' show that when the governor's race, the gubernatorial primaries happened, there were only 16% of the voting population, the registered voters in Illinois, showed up. And so of that, 3 to 5% of registered voters in Illinois chose Governor Rauner, for better or for worse. I'm just saying that that small percentage of our population decided this would be the candidate on the Republican ticket. And the same for Democrats. We, you know, the Democrats, we as a state decided these were our two candidates, Governor Rauner and Governor Quinn. And that was it. And I think that if more people were engaged and involved and informed, you know, things might be, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it would be worse. I have no idea.
There's a silver
lining.
Just
spitballing it at this point.
Yeah, no, I think there's a silver lining that people now see that, that disagree with what's going on, mm-hmm. realize that you need to be involved. You need to pay attention.
Yeah.
And I think that's the silver lining here is that hopefully people will pay more attention if they disagree with what's going on right now, which I believe a lot of people do.
I do think it's interesting that we elevate the guys who framed the, the Declaration of Independence, right? It's amazing what they did, and it was brave. I mean, it was treason. When they decided to leave England, they basically knew they were signing their own death warrant, right? That the king had basically issued all of their execution, right? That's not an easy decision to make.
No, I would have trouble with that.
As in many and some of the arguments, my family is watching 1776 tomorrow. Which it's really quite a good movie. Have you ever seen?
No, I've never seen.
It's a musical, and I held off watching it for a long time. But it's a really good movie. One of the doctors from St. Elsewhere is in there. He plays John Adams.
No, say no more.
Underrated show.
Oh, St. Elsewhere?
Yeah.
I don't think it was underrated. It was very successful. How do we go from the 4th of July?
You don't hear about it's
my
anymore.
Fault. It's my fault. Well, because it didn't have a weird ending where the whole series was basically seen through the eyes of a child with autism.
It was like a bulldozer came and knocked it down. I remember that. You're right. Something
with
weird
a snow globe or something.
Yeah, you're right. It was a snow globe or something weird.
I only saw a few episodes of St. Elsewhere, but I just remember that guy. And Ed Begley Jr. was on there.
Yep.
Denzel Washington.
Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel. A lot of great actors came from that series. Yeah. See, this is is why President Trump is
exactly.
In office.
See how easily distracted.
It's simply like the internet. You like go. You take like a you click on something and then all of a sudden you're buying a new flag.
Well, I do. You know, sorry to bring it back to civilization again.
No, James, you're the voice.
Sure, go
reason.
Ahead. Yes.
Well, I do think I think one thing the last several months have taught us. You know, there's more to being a citizen than just voting, too.
Sure.
You know, I think we kind of forget about that. Like, oh, even if you are someone who votes consistently, there's more to that, you know, and part of society. Like, if we were, if you drilled it down to the very basics, right, we're trying to survive on a beach or somewhere, and we elect something like, all right, we need one leader because we have to make some decisions.
Oh, you're doing a post-apocalyptic thing right now? Gives me anxiety attacks. But go ahead. We're on a beach.
This is only like a year
We've
and a half
We've been
nuked.
Now. Okay, all right.
But like you would pay attention, like, wait, who are we picking here? You know, you wouldn't be just it's like sometimes we feel so far removed from what we're actually dealing with, but it really is like life and death stuff, you know?
It is, and it's remarkable. And I was talking to a girl who, a woman actually, I apologize. She grew up in Ohio, and she has moved here. She said she's so happy here because she can get a job. She moved to Chicago, and there's so much more opportunity here. She said that that's why people in her state voted for Donald Trump. Jobs went away. It's it's a no man's land for a lot of places in the country. And I wonder, though, I mean, there are so many jobs that are they coming back? If we've automated so many different things, everything from assembly lines to cashiers, you know, or bank tellers.
That's
what do we want to do next? We have to figure out what that looks like, too.
What the new jobs are going to look like. Exactly. Yeah. Looking backwards, you know,
the president promised all these people that those jobs are going to come back.
Right.
And when and if they don't come back is when people are going to see that they were sold a bill of lies.
I was really disappointed to hear that those jobs that he said he had saved it in Indiana at Carrier, those are all now going to Mexico.
Yep. Supposed to be a bunch of Blockbuster jobs coming back. No, I'm just kidding.
I still have my card.
I don't like Blockbuster Video. I'm going to be on the record. It's been okay.
Were you one of the first people that got it on Netflix?
No, I will tell you what happened.
I love Blockbuster.
I was going to get a job at Blockbuster Music, which was. And this is again why we're off on a tangent again. But I am going to say this, and I say it on stage, and people are, is it true? But I got a job there, and everything was set. But then I had to take a drug test.
Okay. Right. And there was a concern.
Say no more.
Were you offended by the actual?
No, I didn't. I was like, oh, yeah, it's fine. I'm going to have to take a urine sample of some sort, and I will pass that because it was after college.
Sure.
And I know that the time frame is 30 days. But they took a hair sample, which goes back 120 some days.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And you didn't want to do that?
No, I took it, and I didn't get the job.
Ah.
So I think I'm one of seven people in the world that is still alive that doesn't live in his parents' basement that failed the Blockbuster.
We couldn't drug get test. Hired at Blockbuster.
Yeah. Esmeralda, have you ever had to take a drug test?
No.
No,
I don't think so.
And I'm trying to,
I haven't.
No. I applied for the Chicago Police Department. And I was actually called up for the academy. It was an interesting process because first you take this massive test, this, you know, multiple choice test, about 900 questions. A lot of them are about your, you know, ethics and things like that. And a lot of, there are different steps to the process. And then they do a urine test and they take it from behind your ear. Mm. They shave, you know, and I have really long hair, so mine would go even farther back. Presumably,
yeah. They take it from the back of your neck, mm-hmm. at least for men.
Yeah, they took it from behind my ear. But there were women. So first of all, the police officers, there are female police officers in the women's bathroom, and you have to pee in front of an officer in your stall, which is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, they want to make sure you're not bringing in someone else's pee. But that was weird. I mean, it's one thing to go when someone else is in the room with you. It's another when they're facing you.
That's got to be kind of embarrassing.
For them,
I'm not the neatest peer in a cup.
Yeah,
that's going to be like, oh,
yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like, women, it's got to be tougher.
Yeah.
It's really hard for guys.
Well, fortunately, so much detail.
No,
but
the
it's from,
is what
no,
it's
said. From before I had kids. So now, I mean, like, I'm like a water wiggle. I can't, there's no,
oh,
like,
wow.
I'm like a, you know, those sprinklers that like rotate. Yeah.
Those are hard to run in because you never knew which direction.
Dear Lord. So what happened with the results?
I was fine. I was called up for the academy.
Oh, really?
Sorry to bother you. Yeah. Was it a humble brag? You're like, well, I passed the drug test.
No, it was to talk about the part of the test where I had to pee in front of the police officer. No, but there was a woman there who had a shaved head. She was a black woman who had no hair. She had no hair to take a sample from. So they required that she give them a hair sample from another area.
Oh.
And this was like back in 2000. After 9/11, so I guess
yes, that's so she didn't.
So the trend was not yet where it is now. Where okay, I've gone. This is I've
wow.
I've gone.
So
once.
Weird that our presidential elections are so
makes no
off
sense.
Topic.
You see natural progression. No more to this on 720 WGN. Don't worry, pizza's coming. you are listening pretty late, I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire. Yeah. James Vickery is joining us as well. Esmeralda Leon is up in traffic, and she will be hosting very shortly with WCIU's John Hansen You and Me in the Morning. By the way, Kelsey Huff was the guest co-host on the show.
I saw that on Facebook.
He needs to get you on that show, Es.
Yes.
I think you need to be co-hosting.
I tried to get on there, too.
Let's all co-host at the same time.
There you go. Yeah. And producing tonight's show, I'm sorry it's taking me so long to say this, Lise Graham behind the glass. There's so much that's been going on that I didn't mean to exclude you from both of you. Sometimes it takes me a while to get
hey,
to
Hey, I'm happy to be here. And also thank you for ordering me a vegan pizza. I know it's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. I put no cheese, please, in all caps.
Yay.
So if there's cheese on it, they did not read the caps.
That's okay.
I put please, but it was in caps. It's still screaming, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
It's like yelling.
Too bad there's not.
Don't
like
they have like a vegan
yet.
Pizza or something?
I didn't get it. I was trying to do it quickly.
It's
so
garlic lovers.
It took me an hour and a half to get the order done in the first place. James Vickery joins us in the studio. By the way, it is it's not Friday night, but it feels like a Friday night. So I think whiskey and a cookie is appropriate for the 4th of July. Do you drink whiskey?
That's all I drink, actually. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. You told me something that made me laugh during the break.
What?
You were at the Zanies. You did some guest sets.
I did.
And very funny stuff, by the way. I know you were working on some new stuff and mixing it in. And so much fun. People were telling me how much they enjoyed your sets.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
And you told me you watched my entire show.
I did.
Which not a lot of comics like stay and watch other comics' entire sets.
I purposely, well, for you, I can do it. I don't like to see people who have similar styles as mine because I don't want to like accidentally pick something up.
I have similar styles to anybody that you would, I mean, like I wondered about that
No, I don't think so. Well, not that I know of.
It's so ridiculously autobiographical. People ask if I do political humor on stage and I do not. I was thinking about this on my drive back from Springfield. The reason I got into stand-up comedy actually was to try to do political comedy when I was 21 years old, 20. And I couldn't pull it off. And I still can't. It's not my skill set to do like Will Durst and Lewis Black and Jimmy Tingle. And there are people, Bill Maher.
I used to
open for him.
Yeah.
You know, Jon Stewart, Chris Rock does some stuff. You know, there are people who have it's their skill set. It's not my skill set. Mine is autobiographical.
It's tough. I've been dipping my toe in a bit, but it is weird. You could really turn a room quickly.
Well, go ahead, Paul.
No, I mean, even the I mention the president and Hillary in my set in a totally different, it's not even a political joke. It's just autobiographical story. Yeah. And you can just feel people, the tension in the room change.
Yes.
Yep.
Especially in rooms, you know, when I was in the South doing shows down in Florida and Arizona.
I have to say, I perform less frequently in the clubs. I do a lot more corporate speaking and consulting and doing like keynote addresses. That I was surprised at how much fun it was to be back at Zany's for a whole week of headlining last week.
Those are fun shows. I love that room.
I do too. That was a lot of fun. Thank you to everyone who came out last week.
What was funny that I said though?
You said that you watched my whole show and took notes. And
I took notes.
I've never. I have. It's been a long time since someone told me that they took notes.
Well, because I always was I was always scared to for headliners to be like, hey, like, because I always like when people give me notes or tags or anything. And I was like, do headliners like that? And then everyone headliner I've ever talked to, like, yes, I do. Like,
I like it. Well, there's one situation where there's a comic that and he didn't do it for me. There's a comic. Let's call him John because that's his name. Roy. When John gives a comic a tagline or a joke, like he did this for Tom Clark, right? Tom Clark, incredibly funny comedian. He's had a special and he's been on some television shows as well. John had written a tagline for him, and John, every time Tom Clark would do the joke, John would be in the back of the room telling everyone that he had written that.
That's not the point.
And it made me, I was just like, you need to stop doing that, you know? And there are comics who, there way back when there were comics that would do that to me. Let's call him Mike, because that's his name. But there was a comic named Mike that would always like remind me after every show that he had written that punchline that was doing well. And it was weird. So that was the only, I wouldn't.
But see, like, no, I when people tell me, like, I really like that thing, I always say who gave, like, I've had people give me great tags, and I'm always like, oh, yeah, that Jonah gave me that. Like,
no, I whoever. Love that you took notes. I see that. That's
but, but, like, I actually had the opposite situation happen where I was going to, I had a great tag for somebody, and I was like, hey, can I give you something? And they were just like, oh, no, no, and they got really weirded out. And then I was like, it was a not a headliner.
What's their first name?
I'm not.
What's it sound like?
I'm not getting in on that. But it got to a point where I was like, oh, shoot. Like, now I'm going to be, like, in the Chicago scene as some guy who's condescending. She was a female comic, so I was like, I didn't. So I went and apologized. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I do this for, like, I just like to. I like when people give it to me. It means that they're paying attention to my set.
Right.
And I like it. And I just assumed you did. And I'm so sorry, because I didn't want to get blasted on the Chicago comedy scene is like, oh, this guy's a whatever.
Oh, interesting.
So I got really afraid, and I apologized. Like, oh, no, you're fine. I was like, I'm sorry, but I really had a good, I mean, it would have made the joke a lot better.
I grade every comic I see and hand it to them.
Wrong.
With a red marker?
This was good. This was bad.
I actually check for accuracy. I'm like, well, technically you said this, and we're nothing if we're not accurate.
As by the way, do you know that when I have that that hunk of material about the fires in California?
Yeah.
In the front row was a Chicago firefighter. I mean, a California firefighter who rents out his goats to eat. I have this whole thing about the goats eat the dry grassland and shrubs to control the fires, and I was laughing. He could not wait to get back to California to tell all the firefighters about the goats.
you had a lot of stuff that you did. I mean, I don't know if you did. You record your set?
No.
See, I didn't think you did, but there were a lot of stuff you did. Well, I a reason why I say that is because you did a lot of stuff that was riffing that you didn't mean to say. They got a lot of laughs, and I was like, that's actually a whole nother direction you can go with something. I'll tell you about it later. But like,
yeah.
You got, I don't know if you remember, but there was a portion of your show where you made like a mistake in what you were trying to say, but it got a huge laugh too. So,
well, the weird moment, James, was there was a guy in the back who had too much to drink, and he was fighting with his girlfriend, right? Mm. And but I didn't know that, and I was doing this material about
Steve.
Well, and here was what was in my mind the problem that I was having actually thematically with it was that I realized on stage something that had happened in the morning, which was I forgot my anniversary. I have been married, get this guys, 17 years.
Wow.
Yikes.
I've been with my husband for 22 years.
We need music right there to be like...
So I got home from Springfield and I was exhausted. Was it Springfield? I don't know what I've been doing. Was I in Springfield? Anybody? Yes.
Yeah, you were in Springfield.
Yeah.
I know you're like that. Yeah.
And for people who ask about like where are your kids, actually Griffin came with me. My whole family came to Springfield on Friday. Griffin was a page on the floor of House of Representatives. He got to watch the whole process. He watched the vote take place. It was the spending bill, at least an amendment to the spending bill. And we had a really great day, but Griffin and I stayed an extra night to do some stuff around the Capitol, take some tours. And then we came home on Amtrak. And then I did the two shows on Saturday, came home and the boys, everyone was still up. They wanted to wish me a happy anniversary. Mm. And I completely forgot it was my anniversary.
Happy what now?
Happy what? I know. I came home and there was like an orchid on the buffet and there were gift bags.
You did a whole set about it.
I had no idea that it was my anniversary. And it was Canada Day. We got married on Canada Day.
How do you forget Canada Day?
So I talked about that, and the problem that I had next was that I have this material about my husband not doing a great job of taking care of the house. I mean, like, if I ever showed you pictures of my house, you would be like, I can't believe you live like that. And so I was doing this material about my husband washing all the laundry in the house. He'll wash it and dry it and then shove it into laundry bags. You've seen me throw the laundry. And as I was doing this, and I'm kind of ramping it up, and I also kind of feel badly that I'm talking about my husband already forgetting my anniversary, and like I'm kind of griping about him. And I feel awkward about it because he's such an amazing human being. So I'm trying to sell it. But as I'm doing it, this guy walks toward the stage, James, right? And I see him. He's wearing like a peach
orange
shirt.
Top. Yeah, peachy orange top.
Right? And he's coming towards the stage and he's saying something fast. And instead of like, here's where I was, I told my husband later, I'm like, instead of like backing up, I go toward him.
Yeah.
Right?
You followed him to the door. I saw the whole thing. I was in the back.
I know. I followed him to the. But my concern was that he was going to be walking out on a waitress and jipping her on her tab.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pissing me off. That was actually what I was. What
but
I was,
he actually. But that wasn't the case. He actually paid.
He had actually already paid, but I didn't know that. Because he walked out the front door, which is locked. He unlocked the door.
Yeah, right.
But I also need to make sure that they lock that door because we.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while.
But hey, as who absolutely hates this song?
Not me. I love it.
Oh,
people hate this song.
Oh, someone hates this song. Yes, significantly, very strongly.
It's not Nick, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, because Nick used to hang out at the bar that I, and here's what cracks me up is that Nick and I probably cross paths at a bar called O'Malley's in Champaign, because Nick always talks about hanging out in Champaign.
This is a song.
And I used to sing this song at the top of my lungs. I was one of those girls that Nick D hated in Champaign. So, because we would be there every night at midnight.
They play this song.
O'Malley's would play this song, American Pie. Drove my Chevy
bye.
Okay.
American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the left.
Are we doing this?
You are.
is that one of the bars that's still? Is that still there?
No, O'Malley's is not there.
Another bar is there. Just,
which is it?
Murphy's is the Irish.
No, Murphy's is gone. That's the one that just
what?
Went.
No.
Google it. Something just Google happened recently.
Something just happened.
Yeah, I think it was Murphy's.
Our friend from
Google it. Go ahead.
What's the name of the bar we just had on? And Rokon just had them on. His name's Chris. He manages the. I can't remember. It's this great bar down the street. It's like a 3-story bar with amazing drinks. It's right down the street on Hubbard, and I am totally blanking on them.
Hubbard.
The Hubbard Inn. Duh. Thank you, Ez. Yeah, the Hubbard Inn. The guy who manages that, the general manager, was
Jason.
A manager at.
He was a manager in Champaign at Clybourne. Jason. There.
Are you thinking Murphy's, by the way, in Champaign?
Yes. Is that what you're thinking?
Mr. John Hansen spends time there as well.
Oh, that's right.
Murphy's, yeah. So,
John Hansen is responsible for the expansion of Murphy's Pub, right? Isn't that his, like...
What is happening?
He was at Murphy's 28 hours ago, so it does that
oh
one
my God.
Exists.
Murphy's Pub in Champaign?
Yes. That's where all of our WPGU bar crawls started.
Well, what was the one that just closed down 2 weeks ago? In Champaign.
He does say Illini Inn.
Illini. Oh, so is that's what it was.
Oh, no. I
apologize.
I had heard that. I had heard that Illini Inn.
The Mug Club.
Yeah, didn't they have a pinball machine there?
Yeah, that's what they were known for. And pizza slices.
Yes.
Okay, my bad.
My boyfriend Derek
drank a lot back then.
My boyfriend Derek used to love playing the pinball machine there. I like playing pinball once in a while. Do you like pinball machines, James? Do you like any video games?
I'm the same.
I've never really gotten into them. Why did we stop singing American Pie, though?
Drove my Chevy. I thought that was going to be him.
We were only on verse 1 of 17.
And blue.
You know what? Lise could just play it in the background, and then in an hour, we'll get
come
to
back
end.
To the end.
Yeah. So it'll be fine.
Yeah, we had some good. You remember O'Malley's? They would always have like an inch of beer on the floor.
Those quarter beers were like a nickel. It was like.
That's Cam's now. Cam's.
Cam's?
Was Cam's there?
Yes, it was. Cam's and CO's.
Cam's is still
yeah,
there. I worked at Cam's.
Really? Which one had buckets of beers? Where you dip your cup in like a scoop.
CO's?
CO's?
Well, no, CO's had quarter beers on Sunday.
CO Daniels is gone? Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Cam's
there was
still there.
There was a massive ice storm one Valentine's Day in Champaign, and my boyfriend and I were waiting in line at O'Malley's. Let's call him Tom because that's his name, Daniels. And
you're killing it with that one tonight.
We were on the ice, and everyone was kind of like trying to keep their balance. And Tom started to fall, and to break his fall, he grabbed from my hand and yanked me down and smashed my face on the ice.
Jeez.
I mean, it wasn't he didn't purposely smash my face. I mean,
that'd be a different story.
As far as you know, yeah, could have been.
I chipped my cheekbone.
Oh my god!
And it was one of the
cast for that? How does that
No, it's
work?
Just you just have to kind of like I have it just kind of floats in there a little bit. But and it was and it looked like
Do
I mean
you,
like
play
I,
with it when I, you're nervous?
A little bit. I can kind of feel a little bit, but it go it went but the black eye went from from like my forehead all the way down to my lip. And yeah, it did not. And I had to go home that weekend too, and
explain it to your mom.
And tell my mom, I swear he did.
Stop beating me.
He didn't do that.
I'm not gonna say.
Okay, so were you guys in frats and sororities? Down
I was not.
Okay, me neither.
Okay, I was
GDI. Of course,
yes,
you were.
GDI. You were.
I was. Yeah.
What were
one?
You in?
Wait, let me guess. Were you in the Jewish one?
No.
You weren't in Sammy's. No.
No. Wait. Whatever I say, there's gonna be a wrong answer. Yeah, so I'm not gonna
okay,
answer.
Okay. Wait. Delts.
No.
That's a that's a sorority. Pet. Isn't it Delta? Yeah, right.
Tri Delta? No, Delta.
Tri Delta sorority. Delta is a fraternity.
Oh, were they?
I used to host the Frattle of the Bands.
Oh. The Frattle of the Bands?
Yes, at CAMS. It was like WPGU had this, you know, Battle of the Bands, but it was all frat bands. So every week was a different frat band. It was so fun.
Did they all play Fish?
Yeah, right.
And John Mayer covers?
There was a lot of like.
I listen to Dave Matthews
There's
cover
some good
band.
Music. Yeah. Oh,
it's
I'm
called
sure.
Under the Table.
Oh. Is that a Dave Matthews reference?
But Under the Table was the name of the album. But those songs were really hard to play. So we ended up just being like a Better Than Ezra cover band. Like it was just a lot easier.
Is that a reference to being paid cash?
No,
is that
Under
what it was called?
Table
Under the Table?
The name, Under the Table and Dreaming was the name of his album that came out in like 94, 95.
Okay.
Mm. But we played one Dave Matthews song. Actually, we played his version of All Along the Watchtower, which was covered by Jimi Hendrix.
Which is a Bob Dylan song.
I'm getting messages from John Hansen. Thank you. But he's making sure that we know that the Illini Inn
was
just closed.
The one that shut.
I know.
Yeah,
very
I'm
sad
sorry.
About that.
I misspoke. But
I haven't been there in a long time.
Burgers says Murphy's.
Who had the great, someone had the great fish sandwiches.
Murphy's has Irish nachos.
Yes.
Fish sandwiches.
I used to love the teriyaki chicken sandwich at the White Horse Inn.
Oh my gosh, White Horse.
White Horse was amazing wings,
White Horse.
Too.
They have karaoke on Wednesdays.
Are they still open?
Yes.
Do they have the rooftop still?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe actually. Was Joe's there?
Joe's was
yes,
there.
Yes, Joe's was there.
Joe's is still there. Joe's on Monday nights, they have like 8th grade dance night. Well, my 8th grade.
No.
And so they play like all the early 2000s music. And at 1 a.m. on the dot, they play Sandstorm. You know Sandstorm?
No.
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 Is it that song that goes, do-do-do-do-do?
Wait, I'm finding
it. Uh-oh, look out.
Do-do-do-do-do.
I know that song.
James, why were you familiar with O'Malley's?
I went to University of Illinois for 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
did you live in the dorms or in the
lived in the dorms?
Which one?
God, I cannot remember the name of it.
Six pack.
It was in the six pack.
Oh, it was in the six pack.
Hopkins, okay. Scott.
Is the six pack gone
Hopkins,
now?
Yeah, it's gone.
It was nasty.
Oh, really?
Snyder. The six pack was nasty.
They have some fancy dorms now.
Do they really?
Scott Hopkins.
Yeah, they should. They were our dorms were gross.
All
cinder
blocks.
I was
in Allen Hall. I
Me
was
too.
One of the hip-
really
for
2 years.
Yes.
We had
nerds.
Did they still have classrooms in the
yes.
basement?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I took guitar lessons. I took American pop music class. I took a short story writing class.
Me too. I took short story writing and economics in my dorm.
Oh my! Isn't that the best? You just like walked out
no,
in your PJs.
I did not do well
did
in either one
go?
Of those classes. No, I did not do well in economics. I did okay in the creative writing class. Yes. Short
did
stories.
They have? Wait, you said guitar. They had guitar lessons that were
so like
through
private
school?
Lessons.
Oh, private. Okay.
Yeah, that you would sign up for. But no. But they were free. Through
I like
school.
Knowing that it's still a hippie dorm. I mean, because it was a hippie dorm when
it's
I
like
went there.
It's like hipster now. Like
oh,
but hippies.
I think it was.
Also.
I think
like tapestries on the walls and like.
Yes, it was. I think it was hipster before
players.
We knew what to call ourselves.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. No air conditioning. Still,
I was a jock. I was a jock that lived in Allen Hall.
You were a jock.
Yeah, I was a lifeguard at all the pools.
Oh. Cool. I was
campus.
A spin teacher.
There you go.
Campus rec.
There you go.
What was the Impy that they
yes.
redid that?
They redid that. That's the Arc. That's
the
where
arc
I taught
now.
Spin classes. And
Freer is Freer Hall still there?
Yes.
It's right
is.
In front of Allen Hall. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Wimpy was the other one they called it.
The little
it
one in front of Allen Hall.
Yeah,
but there's a different it's they knocked that down and it's Cersei now. So
that
Cersei,
was
yeah.
by you know what? I'm gonna tell you how old I am, so never mind.
Let's not answer those questions.
This is fun. I love reminiscing.
Illinois. It's all Illinois night here.
It is.
Yeah.
I
went
birth
to DePaul.
Of America.
DePaul is a great university.
Whatever.
No, it's
I still live on that campus like a 25th year senior, so it's fine.
Does DePaul have is there sort of a leaning towards Jesuit education, or is it not even part of it?
No, they're Jesuits.
Right.
And
we learn about working together. I don't know. I, you know, the second I left,
sounds
I left
like a real
and I'm
stuck.
Out.
You tuned out.
I was like, oh, I have a degree now. Okay, see you guys later.
Because I'm trying to, Griffin goes to Chicago Public School, which is fine. But which is great. He goes to a great school.
I went
school.
To a good so did Chicago
I.
Public School.
I went to Lane Tech. I like my high school. I
went to Hinsdale Central High School.
No, Chicago Public. But it's public school.
I went to LT, Lyons Township.
Oh, okay. Oh, we were rivals. Enemies. Yeah.
We have a listener who would like to talk about 4th of July history facts since we we veered off a topic. We were talking about the 4th of July.
That was what we were talking about originally.
Yeah, and that's why things have turned out the way they have. We are going to talk to Vic when we come back. If you want to talk about the 4th of July.
Or some elsewhere.
I want to know what are some of your favorite memories growing up celebrating the 4th of July?
Also favorite episodes of St. Elsewhere.
Yeah. Also, that'll be taken. Yes.
Or any memories at University of Illinois.
That one where Howie Mandel put a surgical glove over his head. More after this.
Episode.
Join us, will you? It's your conversation. 312-981-7200. Call or text us. 312-981-7200. Vic, when we come back, wants to talk about the 4th of July history.
Just for some context here. This is Sandstorm. It's really fun to dance to.
This is Esmeralda. Was this what you thought? Sandstorm?
Yeah. No, that's it exactly. I used to dance to this at the banquet hall that was gay night every Thursday in the summer. Dance to this.
This seems like something from a lot of cheerleading movies that would be very.
There was a video with this with some crazy puppet going nuts on it. It was really funny. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was like. It went viral. I'll find it.
I have a question about the 4th of July weekend. Did people start last
We're still
Thursday?
About that?
Did it start last Thursday? Because it seems like this is the longest. This has to be one of the longest 4th of July weeks ever.
Offices were open today. A lot of offices were open. Not a lot. I mean, I would say 50% at least.
Your state capitol was open today and functioning. Well, not really. We have we have Vic on the line who wants to talk about 4th of July history. Hi, Vic. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. Let's start with a little one right by your building there. You know, Fort Dearborn was located just across the street from you. So you had Ensign George Ronan, an officer at Fort Dearborn, patrolling the area right where you were at. Now think about that. And he was a West Point graduate, and he was the first West Point graduate killed in action at Fort Dearborn. In the fight at Fort Dearborn. So he graduated West Point in 1811. I authenticated this with the West Point. So first West Point graduate killed in action was killed in Chicago, and he patrolled the area right where you located at Fort
Dearborn. Amazing. I had no idea.
And the other one, and number two, is you're going to be in Skokie and you're going to be by Lincoln Avenue. The original name was Little Fort Road, and that led to the fort in which is now Waukegan, and the early name in the 1840s was called Little Fort. So there's some military history right in Lincoln Avenue, and it was changed when the president was killed. They changed the name.
Hey, Vic, I have a question. Actually, something I learned when I was in Springfield. I didn't realize. Are you familiar with the two capitals of Illinois prior to Springfield?
Oh, the one that they had previous, they've changed that. Another thing, we've changed our boundaries, too.
That's right.
We've changed. Yes. We were actually going, we took part of Wisconsin at one time when we were expanding Illinois. But the third thing, you're talking the Irish Heritage Center. 20 years ago, I gave them a Civil War newspaper from 1861 about Colonel Mulligan, the Irish Brigade, capturing a battle in Missouri, and he's buried in the cemetery in Evanston.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think people realize how much history we have right here, because we kind of think of ourselves as removed from whether it's the independence of the United States from England or even the Civil War.
Here's one I'll give you and see if you could find it too. Still some of them around, very, very rare. Finding some of the old World War II memorials that are located in the neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Every block in World War II kind of honored the guys in the service. There's a beautiful one right on Fullerton near Milwaukee Avenue. It goes back to 1943. honoring the boys in the neighborhood in World War II.
I'll have to find that That's one. Cool. Fullerton in Milwaukee. Well, thank you so much, Vic. You have a great 4th of July week, all right? It's always great to hear from you, sir. Thank you. I always feel like I should be more, I should read more. I've been, as you guys know, I think I've told, have I told you how much I've been reading about Abraham Lincoln?
No.
I can't, Paul knows. He's getting tired of hearing about it.
I'm not getting tired of it.
I've been listening to Sam Waterston. If you go to YouTube, you can listen to Sam Waterston doing the speech that President Lincoln gave before he was president. He was running for office. In 1860, he gave this great speech at Cooper Union, New York. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, like, it's one of these things where the reason I've been listening to him is I'm looking for answers, whether it's the state of Illinois or, you know, where our country is going. When you think about this moment in history, right, you had the men who claimed our independence from England and sort of this, as you talked about on election night, this experiment in democracy, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, they forge forward and try to create laws, and you have all these colonies trying to figure out how they interact with each other. I mean, when the Declaration of Independence was signed, they had to negotiate that as far as, like, whether or not they would even leave England, because the slave-owning states did not want to be regulated when it came to their property. And that was something that had to be compromised, because there were, like, John Adams did not want slavery to be a part of the country. There was a lot that was involved in that. And so we kind of look at them as being, you know, these almost idolize them, right? Yep. As sort of these perfect, the ideal of what democracy is. And there were things that, I mean, if, you know, they were on the wrong side of humanity.
It's undeniable.
It's just so interesting to me, because that's what Abraham Lincoln talks about, is that in his speech, in so many of his speeches, he talks about how slavery was this conflict of selfishness against man's own sense of justice. And he really became radicalized when it came to the abolition of slavery and preventing it from spreading into the other states. I mean, there were moments when he wanted to compromise and say, okay, fine, you know what, we're going to leave you alone, we won't bother you about slavery. But so he changes, and that's what I've been reading about. But we went to the Abraham Lincoln House in Springfield. Have you guys been?
No.
It's pretty cool. This is the first time I've been there since I was 13 years old. I obviously went on the eighth grade trip that a lot of people take. We had the strangest tour guide. I don't know how much I want to talk about it on stage, because Griffin, I thought it was just me because maybe it was hot and I was in a bad mood. But this guy kept yelling at us in the house. I don't mean like me and Griffin. I mean like everybody. If you got too close to a door, he would be like, "That's Lincoln's door!" And every time we would, like, we walked into the parlor and he goes, this was Lincoln's sitting room. This is when he would, where he would welcome guests. And he goes, "Anyone have any questions?" And we were like, It was, and you could hear the other tour guide in front of us with another group giving a great tour, like really passionate about it with all these great stories. And it was a very strange thing. What are you staring at, Paul? You look very serious about something.
There's a... just a Barack Obama speech that someone had sent me when I was looking for the dancing puppet of the sandstorm thing.
And now you're looking at a speech of,
well, you were,
are you calling
Abraham
Barack
Lincoln.
Obama a President Obama a dancing puppet?
No, but I got sidetracked because we're talking about president speeches. And then
presidential speeches.
There's his last speech on the Guardians of Democracy page, which is talking, his last speech as president.
I gotcha.
And it's appropriate for the 4th of July ARP. And then a texter had said,
"Yes,
847 that we are no longer celebrating the 4th of July because we now have a crazy old clown for president."
Oh, I think you still. I mean, whatever it is you believe or support, I think that this is, it's still important to reflect on what it means to live in a democracy. You know, we left the monarchy because we wanted to be able to have our own self, our own will,
our own monarchy.
It's not a monarchy. Although my dad always hated, you know, he did not vote for George Bush Jr. My dad was a lifelong Republican, and he just didn't. He didn't like Daley Jr. He never liked the idea of something that kind of smacked of that. He was like, "Why are these families somehow handing it down?" Mm-hmm. You know, what is that even? How? I mean, we're doing it again. Yeah. It seems as though, I mean, I think if the Trumps could, I mean, Clinton tried, they, you know, we went down that line with the Clintons, then with the Bushes. I mean, you know, is Ivanka Trump someday going to run for office as well? I mean,
Donald
she's
Jr.
Got, exactly.
Eric.
Right. I mean, it's kind of strange.
With Marla that, Maples.
Yeah. The Kennedys did. Right? I mean,
Tiffany
Bobby
Trump?
Kennedy ran?
Tiffany Trump?
Okay, you guys are going a different way. I'm trying to
the
go.
Dancing puppet?
I mean.
He's orange. He is. I sent you guys the dancing puppet. You thought I was crazy. But
I didn't think you were crazy. I thought that you were distracted was all.
I was distracted.
I think that there's pizza. How about you be distracted by that? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Man. You bring. You start.
Give it to those
Lisa's
guys.
Lisa's been working hard all night. Yes.
I found the dancing puppet for her.
It's not going to help for anybody watching the show. I mean, listening to the show. Well, everybody can watch, I guess. Can you give them a website to go to?
Oh, yeah. It's just Dancing Puppet in Car. It's on YouTube. And they can listen to, watch the puppet dancing to Sandstorm, which was played at Joe's in the University of Illinois, which relates back to American Pie, which is the 4th of July, which is what we were talking about with the president before we got...
And we're back.
Oh, you know what? Here's another reason why we are where we are culturally. There's an article that says just looking at your smartphone makes you less intelligent. Just looking at it.
I believe it. I have an addiction to my phone. And
I have three phones.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Remember, you were there when my phone got stolen on Thursday. It was the most scary.
You said it, you left it in a cab.
But then
or
he held
Uber
it ransom.
He held it ransom?
Yeah.
Really?
I had to pay $40.
What, the cab driver?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a cab driver?
It was a cab
Why didn't you report him to the cab company?
Because I wanted my phone back. Well, he didn't. I mean, it wasn't like.
Fair. I guess
he turned off my phone so I couldn't track it. Huh. And then I called the company because thank God I paid with the credit card.
Right.
And I was able to track the number down. And I called the number repeatedly and it went straight to voicemail. Then finally it picked up.
What, would you have given him a reward anyway?
I would have anyway.
How much would you have given him?
The same. I gave him $40.
Right. But it was.
But he lied. He was like, oh, I'm at O'Hare Airport. I'm like, no, now I know where you are because I'm at my other. Because he turned it off thinking that I couldn't track it, but I have another. There's another way.
It happens
a lot, I guess.
I had an amazing conversation with the Lyft driver in Los Angeles before I came here. It wasn't. It was like 10 minutes long.
Is this the one where you ended up in the drive-thru?
No, that was less amazing.
You have the most amazing rides with your
I really do.
Drivers, yeah.
Because I like to sit,
I like Lyft. I like Lyft.
I do too. And I had a great conversation with this guy.
James got me hooked on Lyft. It's all his fault.
Really is.
Yes.
So many great experiences. This one though, we had such a great conversation about the world and change in technology. This was like in 12 minutes. This guy, he was a little bit older. He kind of had that like a college professor vibe, you know. And I was in the back seat. I usually sit up front, but I was in the back. And at first I was on my phone. I was finishing a text. But then I asked him how his night was going. Somehow we went on this route. And by the end, I got out of the car. And we both said to each other very sincerely. I go, hey, here's the change in the world. And he's like, yeah, man, yeah. And it was so... We really connected as humans.
Aww.
But in the middle of that, he's like, man, so many people get in the car and they're just on their phones and they don't even look up. If I had done that, I never would have had this conversation.
I like quiet rides.
I know you do.
Well, how do you know?
You've said that to me before.
Yeah. Because I talk for 3 hours a night. And then sometimes, like last week, I did shows every night. So I talked for like 4 hours straight every single night.
We had the same Lyft driver too, remember? Frank?
Oh, yeah.
You had him and then I had him.
Yes. So. Yeah, I mean, I'll talk. I mean, like if it's a charming conversation, yes. But I really do like the quiet rides, the quiet rides.
What do you say when you take a cab ride to the comedy club, and then they ask you? Lately, I've been lying because if you say, "Oh, are you going to see a comedy show?" I'd be like, "No, I'm performing." But like,
let's talk about that when we come back because I got to go to the news. Yes, do we tell people if we're comics? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because I don't feel like
question.
I can't do it anymore.
But I hate lying too.
I'll tell you when we come back. 312-981-7200. This is a conversation with you. I know it sounds like we're having a conversation with each other, but if you want to point anything out, we're here. 312-981-7200. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Favar Esquire and comedian James Vickery. I don't know if you have
Esquire.
No, sorry. I feel weird that I add Esquire to his. In case a legal conversation comes up, he's ready to tackle that issue.
I feel like since you've had that, we don't get any legal calls anymore.
Do you want legal calls?
No.
So no, then, no. All right, so I won't add it anymore. Clock. Comedian Paul Favar.
No, you can say Esquire. All right, then. Makes me feel smart.
Host of Singles Only podcast.
Yeah.
And you can catch that on iTunes. We had one drop this week? Last week?
I didn't drop one. We have one coming up next week with a comedian, Audrey Jonas.
Excellent.
This week we took off.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah,
she was very, very funny.
I like the use of the word drop, too.
Dropped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's good. I like it. Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. I didn't say it.
Dropped
she did.
It. Launched it.
We launched it.
Launched it. Oh, hey, it's Jasmine. Hey, Jasmine. How are you doing?
I'm good. Happy Independence Day, everyone.
Happy Independence Day.
Is anyone blowing up fireworks tonight?
I haven't seen any. And, you know, last year, or I'm not sure if it was last year or the year before, I actually did a Facebook video live of people just setting off way too many fireworks in the park across the street from my house. Tonight there were, when I left for the show at least, there were no fireworks going off in the park, and I thought that was great. Usually there's like smoke and all kinds of shrapnel, and there was nothing. How about by you, Jasmine?
There's been people in my neighborhood doing it all day. And the strange thing is, why do you blow them up in the day? Because you can't see.
So true.
Well, I think it's the explosion parts. They're just doing the actual firecrackers instead of the fireworks. Is that maybe the distinction? Like they're not launching them?
Like I hear like the sounds of like the cherry bombs.
Right.
That's mostly what they're doing.
Yeah, they've got a surplus and they're blowing them up during the day, I think.
But I think the only fireworks I'll get close to without being scared are sparklers and those things that go on the ground.
The like the worms,
snakes.
No, like those little pop. Those little things you
pop
throw
snaps.
Oh, the snaps. Yep.
Because I'm visually impaired, so I can't really get too close to that stuff.
I love the snap pops. I can't remember.
What about sparklers?
Yeah, if my uncle buys them, I use those.
Very cool. What are you doing for the 4th of July?
Well, I'm, every year I see, it seems like I do crazy stuff every year for 4th of July, because I feel more proud than usual, patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
So this year my grandmother bought me, one of those captain's hats?
Oh, yeah.
Because how I mentioned I want to work on a ship.
Yes.
So she bought me one of those, and I've had this blouse that has, one of those collars on it, one of those sailor collars.
Right.
So I'm going to go out, in my backyard dressed like that.
Aww. Oh,
that's awesome.
Do you think that's wrong to dress like a U.S. sailor?
No, not at all.
Because
I do it a lot.
Disrespectful or something.
Have you talked to your grandma about wanting to learn about, get involved in sailing?
Talk to who?
Your mom. Is it your grandma, right, about sailing?
Yeah, she knows I want to work on a ship. She's just not crazy about it like I am.
Well, just have to keep working on it, Jasmine.
Do you think there's going to be lots of Wrigley Field fireworks tonight?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Are the Cubs playing in town, Paul? Do you know?
They're playing Tampa Bay tomorrow and Wednesday.
Do they do fireworks from Wrigley?
I think it's day game, though. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure,
it's early game.
I'm not familiar. I know Comiskey does fireworks. I haven't seen fireworks at Wrigley because it's such a condensed area,
I'm going to be also watching the fireworks tonight at Navy Pier.
Oh, it's going to be so crowded.
No, watching it on TV, I mean.
Oh, I was going to say, so are we. My husband's recording that. Dean Richards is hosting that, by the way, along with the WGN-TV news team.
Oh, and one more thing. Are you going to be at the Taste anytime this week?
No, I'm not going to. I'm probably heading back to Springfield tomorrow. Griffin and I might head down on Wednesday.
Because me and one of my friends are going on Friday.
Oh, cool. What, do you have any restaurants that you're looking forward to trying some stuff out?
I want to go get some churros.
Nice. Mm, yeah, that'll be awesome.
You go to Springfield a lot. At least I've been hearing on your show.
Uh-huh.
What's it like? And I don't mean the politicians.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I mean, what I like about Springfield, I stay pretty close to the Capitol, and then I often go down to the old state capitol, which is where Abraham Lincoln served a couple terms, and they also laid in state when he was assassinated. They brought his body back to Illinois, and for 2 days he laid in state in the House of Representatives where he had served. And about, I think it was like 35,000 people came through the room to pay their respects. And I go in there and I kind of think a little bit about, you know, where we are as a country, what it means to be an American citizen, what it means to fight for democracy. So I've been doing a lot of that lately over the last couple months. It's a nice Illinois town that has some great restaurants, really nice people. There's an excellent medical community there, some hospitals that are doing some great work. And of course, the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum are wonderful. You should definitely go down there.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
I do. I would love for you to come down sometime, Jasmine. I'd love to introduce you to your legislators sometime.
I don't want to meet them.
Why not?
They make bad choices.
Well, find out. I mean, that's the thing, is it like, you know, it's for a lot of people, like, you know, when we talk about it in the abstract and when you meet somebody and find out what their values are and what their philosophy is, sometimes you'd be surprised at what you learn about them and about how the system works.
Is Esmeralda there?
She is. Oh, no, she's not up there right now. She's getting ready for her show. She'll be coming down and hosting with John Hanson in just a little bit. They start at 2 a.m.
Oh, Nick's not on tonight?
No, Nick is not on tonight. John and Esmeralda.
If you see him, ask him if he blew up anything.
I will. I definitely will. Have a happy 4th of July, Jasmine.
You too.
Thank you so much. By the way, before I forget, Bob Ferguson, who is in the studio right now, I want to thank him so much for once again making our musicians sound as good on the air as they do in studio.
Yeah,
as
great.
Always, yay, Bob Ferguson.
Hey, Bob.
And we don't know if we're making him work double duty tonight, tomorrow night. I don't know if I'm going to be in studio or if I'll be in Springfield. We have Taxi Driver Bob who wants to join the conversation. Hey, Taxi Driver Bob, how are you doing?
Oh God! I tell you, I don't know, man. I get really like all worked up in a lather about Uber and Lyft and taxis and all. One of your guests on there, I don't know his name, but with the leaving the phone in the cab.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, Paul. I mean, like, I don't know the exact circumstances that happened there, but let me explain to you. I've been driving for a living for 37 years. And I can't count how many times somebody's left an item in my car, and I'm nice enough to bring it back to them and in a prompt fashion,
right.
And they say thank you, and not give me anything or very little amount of money. And usually, it's usually a phone these days, because I mean that's the quintessential thing that's left in a cab. And I explained to him wherever I'm at. I don't know where the guy was at when you had contacted him, but if they want it back right away, I tell them I'm in a given location and that I have to go over the, you know, that I have to, if
right.
I'm going to have to drive over there, and I'm going to run the meter from where I'm at to where you want the phone.
That makes
and
sense.
And that's how much it would be. Otherwise, I could leave it in the cab office and they could pick it up there, but. You know, it's part of the thing with, you know, losing the phone in the cab. And also, I don't know if you've had any interesting conversations in cabs, but I'll give you one. If you end up taking my taxi, granted, there's not a lot of people that are driving cabs these days that you can have interesting conversations with. But
there
are some out there.
Hey, Bob, it was me that left the I expected fully to pay for everything, but my situation was a little different in the fact that he turned off my phone so I couldn't get it. It was a fully charged phone and he turned it off so I couldn't find where it was going. And then when I called the company was how I realized that there was a lot of particular, I didn't jump to conclusions, but it was, and then when I was offering to go meet him where he was, he wouldn't tell me his real location. So it sounds like it was something that he's
so
done
creepy
before. Yeah, I still paid
also,
him by the way, Bob.
Another interesting story, I don't know if you saw in the news on Channel 9, and I looked it up online, about the couple that called for an Uber car up in Milwaukee at Milwaukee Fest, and they went around 25 miles and Uber charged them $860.
Jeez.
And they emailed Uber and Uber said, sorry, that's the price. You're going to have to pay the $860 to go 25 miles.
Wow.
You look it up online. It's pretty unbelievable how, you know, this couple could contact them and say, hey, isn't that kind of steep? And it was like 8.6 in surge pricing or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if people a lot of times, if they look and see, how much they're being charged in an Uber versus a cab. A lot of times they're paying more in an Uber.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Uber car than
here,
the
I found
cab.
The story, Bob. Yeah, the $900 almost. Yeah, Uber, Uber and I have a history of not getting along currently. So
I've deleted them from my phone, actually.
All right.
So I'm on your side, Bob.
I just want to say, you know, there are a lot of good cab drivers out there. I've made a lot of personal clients in my years of driving, and they want somebody that's reliable, that's going to give them a good ride, that doesn't have to rely on GPS to get everywhere, that actually knows streets and things that.
And you know, my father was a cab driver for 50 years. He got out of driving cabs strictly because he wanted to be able to have a little more independence. He ended up driving a livery. And I mean, it had its ups and its downs as well. I think that he would have, my dad, it was kind of like before Uber and Lyft. He was kind of already doing that a little bit. But taxi driver Bob, I agree. I mean, it's, there's something about being, a professional cab driver. My dad was a professional cab driver. He treated it like it was something that was important. He always wore, as I tell this story on stage all the time, black slacks, white collared shirt. You know, he was always he liked telling stories. I wonder what it would have been like to be in a cab with my dad, because he would have been a talk. You would have loved my dad.
I would have loved him in your dad. I know. We would have hit it off.
Although I wonder if he talked politics, because my dad always talked politics. He was very conservative and very very passionate about a lot of things when it came to politics.
Well, that's what we were talking about before. Is what do you say to the cab or rideshare company when they drop you off at the comedy club? Do you tell them?
Oh yeah.
We forgot to address it. Because every time I've said I'm a comic, it ends up being a conversation that I wish
you hadn't launched.
I hadn't started.
Yeah, sometimes you can kind of feel it out first.
Yep.
But I would say more times than not, I end up regretting it.
Yeah.
Almost always I regret
telling
someone.
So what's the correct answer? Just, I'm just going to watch. And then they look at the scene. They're like, oh, is that you? Nope.
Oh, yeah. Are you on the marquee? They have your picture on the marquee?
At Laugh Factory, yeah, for a drink day laugh.
I don't have that issue.
Well, yeah, your picture's on the thing when you go.
Yeah, but it's a little tiny, but you can't see it when you pull up. At Zany's?
You can.
I say I'm performing, and then I do 5 minutes in the back.
the correct or the incorrect answer is, yes, I am. By the way, do you have any jokes I can possibly
Exactly. Here's the dorky
that's
thing.
It's going to take me 10 more minutes.
Here's the dorky thing I've been doing lately. If they have whatever, like when they ask me if there's anything I want to listen to, I do ask them to put WGN radio on.
Oh, that's
good.
And then when I get out of the car, I say, hey, if you happen to be in the car late at night, I'm Patty Vasquez.
That's why I kind of want
to. Lisa's like, I'm a little bit of it. Come on, it's a little
that's
dorky.
So great.
It's
sad.
It's a little dorky. It is. It's kind of dorky, but I figure, you know, just see if they're curious.
What song is that?
I don't know what that was. It was dork music. We are we're almost
Sandstorm.
We're almost out of time. Oh. It's Esmeralda and John Hansen are about to come in and take over. More after this on 720 WGN.